It's amazing there is anything left to discover in this world, but I suppose that's what keeps us interested. This year saw newfound dinosaurs, languages, and planets. Science writer Jeff Wise put together a list for Parade magazine. It includes the discovery of that 30-foot hull of a ship by workers excavating the site of the New World Trade Center in New York. Buried over 200 years ago, archaeologists say it spent time traveling the Caribbean. Also, researchers have created a vaginal gel that may prevent the spread of HIV. And then there was Gliese 581G, a planet 20 light years away. Jeff joins us with more. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And we understand you have a favorite, which, frankly, is one of mine, too. A shoe?
Yes, that's right. Some researchers uncovered what turned out to be the world's oldest leather shoe in a cave in Armenia. It was over 5,000 years old. It was basically a leather lace-up moccasin, and it was found in at the bottom of a cave. It was filled with straw, and it was in a pit that was also filled with broken pottery and sheep horns and things. If it was a shoe made today, it would be about a women's size 7.
Well, and what does this mean? Does it change the way we think about shoes? It laced up, you know. It was, you know, perhaps it existed before Stonehenge was even built. Does it change what we think about what people wore on their feet?
Well, I think, you know, before it was found, we just didn't really know. I mean, it's not the oldest shoe that was ever found. If you remember the Iceman who turned up on the border between Austria and Italy, his shoe was a few hundred years older than that, but it didn't have laces. It just kind of gives us a more complete picture of what people were doing way back when. And we know so little about the actual day-to-day lives of these people, and it's just a little crack of insight into what they were doing.
Fascinating. Well, we know languages become extinct every year, but this year one was discovered?
A team of researchers who were exploring and collecting data in northeastern India came across a small group of people in a village who were speaking a language that they'd never encountered before. This is called Koro. And it wasn't particularly closely related to the dominant language of the area. And it seems like this language is probably not going to persist for very long because the younger people especially speak other languages. They're surrounded by another culture. So in a way, it's a sad story because, you know, the sort of richness of the human cultural experience is becoming more homogeneous as time goes by. But it also points out that there are little packets of wonderful discoveries that can still be made.
Now, there's another potential discovery. This one we want to be careful with because autism is, you know, so important to the families that find themselves living with someone with autism. We don't want to, you know, get hopes up too high. But you say that researchers at King's College London may have created a technique for detecting autism?
Well, what they did was they put patients in a brain scanner, and they looked at how the activity of the subjects' brains varied between those who had been diagnosed with autism and those who hadn't. And they found some signature changes in parts of the brain that were responsible for language and social behavior. And this is not too surprising, given that autism disrupts the expression of these behaviors. They were able to pinpoint these changes in 90% of the subjects that they looked at. So it's not a slam dunk at this point. You know, you couldn't use it as a foolproof diagnostic test at this point. But it's suggestive of perhaps a path to take in the future. You know, there's been a lot of controversy about autism. That some people say that the reason for the increase in autism diagnoses is that the criteria have been changed, that they've been loosened. And this test suggests that, no, there really is something happening inside the brain that's responsible for this syndrome. And so it could make tests in the future much more rigorous. And it could also, because it's really shining a light on where exactly these problems are taking place, it could very easily help researchers identify treatments.
Yeah. Dinosaurs, they're very old, but there are apparently some new ones discovered in Utah that you described as the Lady Gagas of their day.
Right.
Because?
Right. Well, these are fascinating creatures because they're really big. They were, one of them was about the size of a small elephant, and the other was about the size of a rhino. Very big, sturdy animals. They were related to the Triceratops that I think most of us are familiar with. They had these fantastical frills. You know, we know the Triceratops have these three horns sticking out, but also these kind of bony plates that's stuck up from behind their heads. And in the case of these two new species, these were rather elaborate.
As you write, a frill-adorned noggin.
Right. A frill-adorned noggin, yes.
With 15 horns?
The larger of them had just 5 horns, which is a lot, I think. But the smaller one, which they called Cosmoceratops because it was so cosmically mind-blowing, it had just, 15. It had so many that it's almost kind of hard to count. They all sort of run together. But it was sort of like a Christmas tree, I guess would be a more seasonable appropriate description. I had all sorts of bells and whistles on it. And, the question that arises is why? What purpose would all this have? And I think one of the more reasonable explanations was that this was used, not just for defensive purposes, but also as a way to attract a mate. It was maybe like a peacock's tail. It was this sort of elaborate sort of billboard.
Fascinating. We'll have pictures, by the way, at herenow.org. I just have to touch on this. There doesn't seem to be anything deep in this discovery, but it's just fun. Mm-hmm. Belly buttons. If you have one that's higher on your body, you make a better runner. Lower on your body, you might possess an edge in the water.
Right.
Who studied belly buttons?
These are some scientists at Duke University, and they basically were wondering, why do some groups of people do better at running and some people are better at swimming? And they looked at the divergences between the group, and they found that the runners have higher belly buttons. Now, what does this mean, that they have a higher belly button? It seems like, the belly button seems like the most sort of purely ornamental, non-functional part of your body. But it turns out that the belly button basically corresponds to the center of gravity. And so if your belly button is high, it means you have long legs and maybe a relatively short upper torso. Longer legs are very useful for propelling you along, and so hence people with high belly buttons have long legs and are good runners. Conversely, if you have a long torso and relatively short legs, this helps you propel yourself through the water as your arms move and your legs move. Basically, when you're swimming and you're trying to go fast, you're creating a wave and then surfing down it. And so you're able to do that more efficiently if your belly button is low.
That's Jeff Wise. He is Wise. His article, 2010's Amazing Discoveries, was featured in Parade magazine. You can read his full list at herenow.org. He's also author of Extreme Fear, The Signs of Your Mind in Danger. Jeff, thank you.
My pleasure.